It's a short and a simple gospel, but there's some interesting interweavings of our faith in this particular gospel, because it does tell us one thing for sure, that we cannot know who the Christ is, and we cannot really believe in Jesus until we first of all presuppose as an act of faith the existence of the Trinity. For Jesus says, the Father and I are one. There is, therefore, one God, and the Father and the Son are persons of that God, but they are one God nonetheless. And so to say, I accept one and not the other, is to deny an entire reality of the human person, and in so doing, is to actually deny the Christ. That's why Jesus can say that what the Father has given me, no one will take from me, because it is not just an initial response to the proclamation, to the kerygma, to the Word of God. It is a response through Jesus to the whole God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And that response is something that turns our hearts, our souls, into therefore disciples of the Lord. Throughout the ages, there have been those who would try to steal the flock from the Father. There are those who deny the triune God and therefore cannot know God. There are those who deny Jesus as human or as divine and therefore cannot know him. And we cannot love someone that in all truth we do not know. It's the difference between a deep interpersonal relationship and a fan club. In a fan club, you're kind of mesmerized by the character and you idealize that person and you make somehow or other remake them in your mind. Such is not the case of believing or of loving. For we can only believe truly in that which is real, and we can only love those ones whom we know. When they try to steal the flock from the Father, for instance, in our day, in every age this goes on, certainly the Romans did it, but in our day and age, the disciples of secularism try to kill the knowledge of Christ and the word of Christ in the hearts of the people in order that they might have power over them and control them. The Islamic jihadists try to steal the flock. And we see that, for instance, in the Near East. They steal by either telling them to renounce the Lord or killing them. And it is amazing for us to realize how deeply the love of the Middle Eastern Christians are for the Lord, for hundreds and hundreds of them have died for the sake of the name. That very powerful image that we saw with the jihadists beheading the Christian men on the beaches of North Africa, and the mother of one of those who was so killed says at least he died with the name of Jesus on his lips. Faith binds us in love to the one who is real, to the one who is true. And we cannot love him if we do not know him. And we cannot know him if we do not know that the Son and the Father are one. This morning, this is not some kind of abstract principle that, oh well, you know, that's what it says, so what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. It's like saying, I know this one person, but I deny that they had a father or that they had a mother, for I only know them. I deny that they are whole, and so I love what I imagine. Here, we can love the one whom we know. And we know because of his voice, because of his word, because he speaks to us and is present to us in word, in sacrament, in spirit. Open your hearts, and I must open mine today also, to hear God's word and to be responsive to his presence, and know that we encounter a man who is in many ways knowable and in many ways mysterious, but we accept both the knowledge and the mystery, for that is the wholeness of who he is, and only then can we follow him and love him, and hope that in more fortuitous circumstances, we too may enter into eternal life with the name of Jesus on our lips, that we might be saved and be with God forever in all eternity.